Welcome to a learntolearn.org podcast. We are here to support your learning, taking off the limits that we have accrued to our learning and adding in those ingredients that we've learned from world-class learners that have made them the best so that we can each update our own programming and become the best learners that we can be. We're really glad that you're here to share some time with us. We hope that this brings you exactly what you need today to better engage in your life and your learning. We're always looking for more and better ways to enhance learning. We want to find those things that we can do that really make learning of all varieties easy, powerful, and take that learning into other areas of our life, not just repeating in tests, although that's also required if we're in school. One of the ways that really turns up our ability to learn is note-taking, done well. Now, there's a lot of approaches to note-taking, and we're going to cover a lot of that here today so that you have a pretty good general overview of what makes note-taking work and what undermines it. Maybe you already take notes. Maybe you're already really excellent at it. For the rest of us, here are some of the things that we find that make the biggest difference when it comes to taking notes. As we think about this, we just want to make clear that we know that note-taking is done in a lot of different contexts. Certainly can take place in the classroom or in the boardroom. It can also take place when we're reading, when we're prepping for a presentation, when we're just sorting out our own thoughts, and lots of other areas. Note-taking becomes a very good and very powerful way to capture what is important for us to consider and enhances our understanding. It can also be a way and a time that we use to connect what it is that we're thinking about, what we're learning, with other things that we've already learned, other things we're considering, possibilities for future endeavors. Note-taking can go in a lot of different directions. So there are numbers of ways to come at it depending on what our outcomes are. One of the questions we're often asked is it better to write everything out by hand, or is it better to write it out on your tablet or your computer or on your cell phone? The research initially seemed to indicate that it was much better to write it out by hand. It was thought that there were a number of reasons for this, one of the powerful ones being that we were literally manually manipulating a pen or pencil or whatever we were using in a way that activated the brain and used micro-movements as a way to trigger integration into the brain. It turns out that the initial studies, even though highly quoted and really promoted in all kinds of media, turned out that that study was small, and when it was reproduced, they didn't get the same results. So it ends up being that it's not so much how we take the notes, but the quality of the notes. And even the quantity of the notes makes a difference. There are some studies showing that just greater quantity of notes is highly correlated with better test results, if that's what we're looking for. The very first thing that we do when we're approaching taking notes is to prepare. If you're going to be in a class, look through the material that is relevant to the upcoming class beforehand. Get some idea about what's important, what the essence of the class is, what topics are going to be covered, what about those topics is the most important. We talked about a very similar thing when we were looking at good study habits, when we're preparing to read a chapter. Before we read the chapter, we want to look at the makeup of the chapter, what the highlights of the chapter are, thumb our way through the pages to see what the highlighted topics are, what the charts are, if there are questions at the end that tell us what to be looking for in the chapter. We want to do the same thing in preparing to go into a class or read a book that you're going to take notes on or whatever else you're going to be taking notes about, so that our brain knows what it's looking for, so that it can pick out those areas that are most important and the key elements, so that we can include those in our notes, so that our brain is already queued up and is easily able to recognize what is relevant, so that we can get that down in our notes, so that that part comes easily for us. Now, it may seem like, oh, extra work, but a little bit of extra work can go a long way towards making learning easier and making note-taking much more effective. At this point, we have to stop for a minute and ask, what is the real purpose of note-taking? What is it that we're trying to do? The response we usually get, particularly from academics or students that are just trying to make it in school, is, well, I want to get a good grade. I want to perform well by other people's standards. And that's a great goal. If we know that's what it is, then some of the things we've talked about already and some of the things we're going to get to will serve us just fine. There's another way to come at this, and that is that the purpose of note-taking is it's really one of the places where we can teach ourselves how to think by asking what's important in what I'm hearing here in the lecture that I'm at, or in the book that I'm reading, or in the studies that I'm doing. By what's important here, we mean that there are several different ways to ask that question. What's important to the teacher that I'm studying with? What's going to be important on the test? Or what's important in my understanding of the world and how the world functions and how I function and how I might engage in a way that develops and brings out more the deeper intelligence that we have at the core of us? Are we engaged in what we're doing in note-taking as a way just to be able to repeat back what it is that we're being taught, to mimic the teacher's point of view and do well on the test? And of course, there's a value in that, in the setup that we have in our world. We can also take it much more deeply, which lets us ask other questions about what it is that we're learning and make other connections and other associations. So note-taking can really be a place where we're looking at, listening for what else is important and important from other viewpoints, not just the viewpoint of how do I get the good grade or how do I get the attaboy or whatever it is that we're looking for. How do I use note-taking as a way to develop the capacity to reflect on my experience, on my world, and see it from multiple points of view, to penetrate more deeply what it is that I'm learning about, and ask other questions about what does this mean to me, about my world, what other connections between what I'm learning and what I've encountered elsewhere can I make? What does that show me about how things actually work? If we look at all the studies that have been done on note-taking or learning in general, the metric, the standard that's typically used is when somebody approaches taking notes or whatever other thing they're studying this way or that way, what happens to their performance as measured by how well are they able to regurgitate what they have been taught, what's been presented. And that is very much a reflection of the fundamental of how school works for us in almost any society. Typically, the point of school is, yes, to help kids develop their own capacity. But again, that is typically measured by how well do they reflect the points of view of the society that they live in. How well, when we get all done with this, do they fit? Can they go out and get a job that lets them fit well and reflect society's values? And again, there is real benefit in being able to fit well when we choose. The other side of this is the idea that schools should be developing the uniqueness of each individual child, that each of us as we go through school should be supported in discovering what our own unique talents, our own unique capacities, our own unique viewpoints, our own unique being is, and that if that's fully developed, that is going to be the biggest contribution that we can bring to this world. So there's a push and pull between these two seemingly opposing ideas. And schools, for the most part, fall much more into that category of how do we make everybody fit? It's just an easier model to work in. It's an easier thing to accomplish. Now, that's not to say that there aren't teachers, professors, and even administrators that are really wanting to support that uniqueness in each of us. It's just that overall, what wins out is the how do we make people fit? Okay, now what's the relevance of this to note-taking? Note-taking can really be an exercise in bringing our own understandings, our own point of view, to selecting, understanding what is being laid out for us. When we're actively working to discern what is important in this lecture, in this book, and incorporating that into our notes, that question of what's important is rooted in the underlying question that we're asking about what's important from the viewpoint that I'm assuming. What is it that I'm trying to learn? Am I trying to just learn what I'm being taught so that I can repeat it so I can do well on tests? Or am I asking deeper questions? This, of course, is not an either or. It's not, oh, I can only do one of those and not the other. We can do both at the same time. And good note-taking is a way to keep both perspectives active in us at the same time. Note-taking can be seen as just a way to write down as fast without really listening anything that is being said that you might think is going to be needed later to do well on a test or whatever. Making notes is much more an active listening process where you're making meaning out of what is being said and you're connecting it to what you already know, to connections that you can make, and to things you have questions about. You put these down in your own words in ways that are important, relevant to you. You can also write down other lines of inquiry that this brings up. Well, if what they're saying is this, what does it mean about these other things? Let me go pursue that later. So we make notes to ourselves about areas that we want to fill in, that we want to use to add dimension to what we're being told or to challenge what we're being told. So it's possible to write things down without actually understanding them. And then we end up with just a lot of words on the page and not much learning, not much understanding. So making notes can be a way to really deepen our engagement in the material and deepen our understanding. It gives us much greater engagement in the class or in the book or whatever we're taking notes on, and it gives us much more understanding because we're involved with it. We've explored before approaching things from a 360-degree view, from looking at whatever it is that we're trying to understand from many points of view. It's as though we're looking at it from every side. If, for example, we're studying history, and of course history is fraught with wars, and we're hearing about a particular perspective on what took place in some war. Let's say we're looking at the Revolutionary War, and we're hearing it from the American side. Well, are there other sides? Are there other points of view about this? The winner generally gets to tell the story. They get to give their version of history. Are there other versions? And what about the versions of the story from the point of view of the people on the ground that were actually fighting the war? And what about the people that were affected by it? And what led up to it? And what are the results of it? So we can come at this from so many different angles. And note-taking gives us a chance to think about those different points of view. It gives us a chance to jot down, well, what about this? And, oh yeah, we also heard about this. How does that fit into this? And to really expand our understanding, not just to take down a bunch of words that the teacher or professor is saying and be able to repeat those back. We can also use the note-taking to reflect on what's the nature of the human experience and how human beings approach things and why we end up so often having wars and conflicts. And how does that apply to my own life? How does that take place in my family, in my neighborhood, amongst my peers, etc.? Are there parallels that we see? Can we ask ourselves, what is this like? How else can I understand this? All that can go into note-taking, particularly when we think of note-taking as something that goes beyond the moment that we're sitting in the classroom taking the notes. We want to come back and revise those notes. We want to come back and add to them. We want to take notes in such a way that there's room on the page to explore those other points of view, both at the time, or at the time as just a question that we're going to come back to, or when we come back later to review our notes, to add that in and to explore in those other directions. Another example in a different context would be if we were sitting in a chemistry class and we were having described to us chemical interactions as though the atoms are just composed of solid substances, a little bit like a pinball universe that's interacting. And then we think about what we've learned maybe in a physics class where we question whether something is a particle or a wave. Is it a solid thing or is it an electrodynamic world of interaction? Those other views can also go into our notes at the time so that we come back and think about those, so that we learn to develop that capacity to think, the capacity to reason, the capacity to explore and go beyond just what we're being fed. So with this understanding under our belts, let's talk about what formats are best used for note-taking. There are several formats. Each one has its own strengths and its own weaknesses, so we'll cover all that as well. Probably the most well-known, most popular, and one of the better methods for taking notes is the outline method. It lets you organize your note in a very structured format, and it saves a lot of time when you're reviewing and editing. As the name would suggest, this method has you structure your notes in the form of an outline by using bullet points and subtopics and such. So you know, at the top, we would have, this is the title, this is what we're studying. And then we move down the page to, here is the main topic in the beginning of the lecture, the beginning of the book. We would have subtopics, and then under that, further subtopics, and so on, in the same way that we would do any kind of an outline. So this is very familiar. As we go through the lecture or the book or whatever it is we're taking notes on, we would have further main topics. You know, the first part of the presentation, we have X, and then the professor or the teacher gets to the next big area. That's our next main topic. And then we have the subtopics and the sub-subtopics under that. And then that goes on. So we pick up the main topics as we go and have further refining information under those as subtopics. So this works really well when there is a fairly clear structure. If you have a teacher or professor that has their presentation organized, they're not just bouncing around, they're not just throwing out random information, but they actually have thought about what they're covering, they've put it in some sort of logical order. This is a great way to capture that. It lets you get the highlights and the key points in a really clear way. It lets you focus and not have to think about anything other than picking up those pieces of perspective, those pieces of information, and capturing them on paper or on your computer. It also reduces the time that it takes to edit, to review, and it makes the way that it's organized easy to access. It's not really helpful with things like math or chemistry, where there are a lot of formulas, or maybe economics, where there are lots of charts, and it doesn't work as well if the lecture doesn't follow a good structure. But it is something that is simple to learn. We already have the basics of it because we've all done other kinds of outlines. So it's a really easy process to step into. The way the outline method is traditionally done doesn't really invite taking notes about what we're thinking about, what's going on, other associations we have, questions that it brings up for us, some of the things that we've talked about just a little bit earlier. What we suggest for that is using the left-hand margin as a place to write those notes, those comments, and that can be then keyed into the particular topics that we're looking at. Obviously, we're going to suggest those kinds of thoughts, comments, in all of the formats that we lay out here, because we think it's so important. It really takes thinking to the next level. And we think that, again, is one of the most valuable things in note-taking. Yeah, we want to capture the information that's being given in a way that helps us understand it, helps us go back and review it, but we want to go further. We don't want to be just a repository for someone else's thinking so that we can regurgitate that back. The second note-taking method and format that we're going to look at here is called the Cornell method. And this is a way of dividing the page up that you're writing on, again, whether you're using paper or on your computer. So if at the top of the page you have the title, maybe the date, the class, whatever it is, and at the bottom, you're going to have a section for summary. And then in the majority of the page, you're going to have it divided into two sections. On the left, maybe 30% of the left-hand side is marked off with a vertical line. And over there on the left, you're going to have keywords, questions, your thoughts, all of that. And then on the right, the remaining two-thirds of the main body of the page, you're going to have your primary notes and the topics, the subtopics and such. You can use the outline method in this. You can use bullet points and such. So again, at the top, the title, at the bottom, we're going to summarize what we have heard. We can do that as we go, as the professor, the teacher gets to the end of a segment that they're laying out. We can write a quick summary of it, or after the class or at the end of the class, we can go back and summarize what we were exposed to in that particular class so that we have a way of going back and easily capturing the main ideas. Another benefit is this is a quick way to take and review your notes. It also helps in effectively learning as it lets you absorb the information in a shorter time. And it gives you a way to extract the main ideas, partly as you're writing them down in the main body, but then also in that summary. And because you have the summary, oftentimes it leads to a quicker review. There are not many downsides. You have to prepare the page before the lecture, and it does require some time for reviewing and summarizing the core concepts that you're dealing with. But it works in a range of circumstances, particularly meetings and lectures. The next method that we would look at, the third, is what some people would call a mapping method. And basically, this would be at the top of the page. Again, you have the title, then under that, the main point, and then branching both to the left and to the right are subtopics. And under those subtopics are additional notes that fill in that primary topic. And this lets you see how these different pieces are related. So it's easy using this kind of method to draw arrows or other connectors between various points that are being made so that it's not a linear process, but more a mapping out of all the information that you get. And so each one of those areas, if on the left, let's say you have a topic and under that are other subtopics to that topic, and on the right, a similar way. So it can branch a little bit like a tree coming down into various subgroups. And then we can see and mark out the connections between those. And each of those topics and subtopics can have notes underneath that. This is a great way to capture information when you really don't know what content is going to be presented. It's also visually appealing because you can see the way that these different things are related, and it's not just the same repetition of topic, subtopic, topic, subtopic, going down in a very linear way, but it branches out and lets us see the whole of what's being presented at a glance. It can be used for noting down detailed information, but it gives a more concise form for doing that. It also allows for pretty easy editing. You might run out of space on a page. That's a downside, but it's easily enough continued on to another page. And sometimes if we put the information in the wrong place, it can be a little confusing. But again, we can go back and circle that information and draw a line to where it should be. It's easy to correct. A variation on this is a format that some people use where they will take a given topic or a given point, and they will put down the information that follows it, that goes with it, the other notes, the other details, and then they'll draw a box around it. And so on their page, they will have a number of boxes that each have a topic and subtopic and that sort of thing. So again, it's visually appealing. It's much like the map that we just laid out, just in a different format. This time, rather than showing how it branches one to another, we can see and quickly access visually the various boxes to see what the important points were. And then as we're wanting to understand those points or those topics, we can see the information that went with it rather easily. It's a great way to organize what we're taking in. So when you're reviewing, it makes it very easy to go, oh, here are the various pieces, and look at a topic at a time because they're organized into these boxes. For some people, it makes it easier to remember because they have a picture that they can readily go back to of, oh yeah, that's the second box down on the left side. That's the big box. That's the small box. And it lets them have an easy way to recall those. It's not great for every type of lecture, talk, book. And it doesn't work so well if there are not specific overall topics, but again, the presenter is maybe unorganized or rambling through the material. It can take extra time to organize at the end of the lecture. It doesn't necessarily provide a place to put your thoughts, your comments, your questions. But again, if we leave a margin off to the left, that is a way to sort of update this and make it more useful for including your own thinking about what you're learning. The last way we want to mention, and just briefly, is mind mapping, as was developed by Tony Buzan. And in this technique, we start at the center of the page, typically with an image, and then coming out from that, in a very organic way, almost like a spider web, comes the various points and topics that are going to be explored. And then radiating out from each of those come other concepts, other ideas, other relationships, other perspectives that relate to each of those spokes coming out. It's best to look online to maybe a YouTube video or go to Tony Buzan's page itself and hear how he explains it so you can see it. Once you've seen it, it is very simple. It's very powerful for certain kinds of things, particularly as a way to clarify and capture your own thinking, to generate creative ideas, to understand the relationship between various points of view, various perspectives, various topics. Some people do use it for note-taking. We do find it's best for that creative endeavor, that organizing our own thinking. But it's a very powerful way of taking notes as well, and well worth exploring. In all of these, we can, of course, also use images. We can color code. We can add to these. These are just a starting point. Learning to take good notes takes practice. It takes going back over our prior notes and seeing where it's worked and where it hasn't. And in those areas that it hasn't, how can we revise it so that it works better for us? Again, note-taking is a powerful way to organize our understanding, to capture what's being said, and to really deepen our own thinking about what we're being exposed to in the classroom, at work, or in our own exploration.
Thank you for listening. Our purpose is supporting your capacity to learn and to attain all that you can imagine. We hope you use the perspectives and exercises that we have shared. Feel free to send us questions, ideas, experiences that might benefit our listeners via learntolearn.org, learn-to-learn.org. Finally, please help others by sharing our link with your friends, family, and other loved ones, since how you learn is how you live.